space travel from places that do exist, but are on other levels that, for because of our limitations, prevent us from observing these places that presently exist.
Certainly a comment here. Early in the this written, I would suppose you would call it a history, in the Encyclopedia Judaica, they talk not only of Adam, but of Adam Kadmon, the primordial man, that before coming to the Garden of Eden, he had to have passed a certain number of worlds. Had he been coming to Earth from an extraterrestrial source, the planet Earth would have been the sixth or the seventh planet or physical body that he eventually arrived at and settled upon. That is also alluded to in that writing. So that book would have, and that knowledge would also have to be passed on with him.
That is correct. That is correct. Not only that, but the Hebrew alphabet. We have been, up until, let's say, the present era, we're all under the impression that creation started with this universe. But the Zohar makes it very clear. The Zohar, I mean the Book of Splendor, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that the alphabet was created 2,000 years prior to the creation of this world. Just the energy intelligences of letters. So there were worlds before this one. They still exist, but not in the same frame of reference as we, for most of us, who still operate on a five census level.
Well, therefore, yes, it could be interpreted as the number of planets approaching the center of our solar system from vast distances out there.
Yes, yes. It's all come together.
Certainly, certainly. It's very obvious.
That very same kind of counting was done by the ancient Sumerians. We were discussing this about 4 weeks ago, you remember, with Zechariah Sitchin. Those poor fellows were really good science fiction writers or historians, one of the two.
Well, it's very interesting listening to your show, and I'm going to turn this over so someone else can get in their questions. Thank you very much for your reply, Rabbi Berg. Thank you.
All right, Danny, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that one. They get into all things out there, as my open mind folk. I really enjoy each and every one of them. We'll be back in just a moment with Rabbi.
Hi. I've read the Bible several times, and I'm convinced that the Creator is not only creating, not only commanding each of us individually, but is also commanding the universe. And I just wonder, is there anything in the Kabbalah concerning that? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, I say commanding us because there are things that we do, such as things we do inadvertently, you know, and mistakes we make that are compelled upon us. That is, we don't intend to do any of that. And this leads me to believe that there are forces that are causing us to do this. And I just wonder, was there anything in the Kabbalah that mentioned these forces that are controlling us?
Are you aware of it?
Yeah. Well, this other forthcoming book that one day hopefully we'll see the light of day is called Kabbalistic Astrology. There, from a Kabbalistic point of view, it's considered to be almost universal that we, for most of us, we live in a robotic cosmic sphere. Most of the actions, or sometimes almost all of man's activity, is controlled. However, man is provided with the information from a Kabbalistic point of view on how he can also control the cosmos. So while there is astral influence, and while we say the stars compel, they do not impel. And the information in, again, this is all of this kind of ability of man to control his own destiny, free will, that aspect must exist, and that we are, in effect, merely robots in a kind of cosmic scheme, and that's kind of difficult to believe that this was God's intent. And,
well, of course, is it true that we were created to do the will of God rather than our own will or the will of our egos?
Well, what do you call the will of God? And what I thought I tried to indicate that we're talking about an energy intelligence called the desire to share. That's the will of God. And what we have been sent down on this planet Earth, and since our basic energy intelligence is one of a desire to receive for oneself alone, the process, the creative process, is one of transforming our own selfish desire to receive for oneself alone and to create an affinity and a devekut, as it is referred to in Hebrew, create a link up with the all-embracing unified whole called the Lord, with that energy force called the desire to share. So this is, when we're told to do the will of God, when there is no such thing as commanding us to do it. In order to receive, you got to share. And that's one of the basic principles of Kabbalah.
I see. Well, I was just thinking about all the negativity that's going on in the world. Do you think the Creator is commanding all of that too?
No, that's a self-made man. That's man, because the Creator himself has no connection with the desire to receive for oneself alone, as I think I fully explained in the book Kabbalah for the Layman.
Was it the Creator that commanded the flood during Noah's time, or was that man?
Man-made. Everything, every holocaust, every disorder in the universe, all of those beautiful blurs in heaven, as my next, the immediate book, Kabbalah for the Layman 2, indicates from a Kabbalistic point of view, there isn't a single action in this entire universe, both terrestrial and celestial, that has not been determined by man's activity.
I see. You mean, in other words, man is the only one that can correct the problem?
That is correct.
It usually makes the problem.
I see. So, in other words, man can cure all these cancers and everything, if he desires to do so.
Why not?
But he doesn't seem to know how. He doesn't even know he created it, does he?
He'll always put the illness on somebody else.
I see. Well, it looks like the problem will continue as long as he doesn't know that he did it. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you know, whenever there's a problem, we always put it overseas. Like we've got the problem with the bees now. That's the African bees, right? Or the Asian flu. Yeah, we're going to have to start getting home because this is where the problem really lies, doesn't it? Okay, we have Sue on the line. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thank you.
I want to say one thing. Dr. Berg, I really appreciate the time you're taking to respond. You're reflective and thoughtful in your responses. So often people, when they're on shows, feel they must answer immediately, and you are giving thought to the questions posed, and I think that's really wonderful. I also think there seems to be with the callers this thing of continuing to separate man from God as a person, and until we come to the realization that we are all part of God, each of us, then the negativity will continue. But I think there's a tremendous fear on mankind of taking responsibility for ourselves. And I think many institutionalized religions have perpetrated that for their own purposes, I assume, but we all are a part of God, and therefore each is responsible for whatever is happening on any time at any place. What I wanted to get into with you was about reincarnation. One thing, my son is adopted. He's not young now, he's in his 20s. And I have always felt, my husband and I were very involved and studied metaphysics, but we had always felt that he could not come into our lives through my body and had to choose his own way of entry, but that he was very much meant to be a part of our lives, and that was the only way he could do it. He had an experience when he was about 4 years old of remembering an incident in another life. And it was just very brief. He had no recollection of it later in later years. He didn't recall it at all. I'm talking a lot, but I wanted to share something with you. My husband died last year, and he died of cancer. It wasn't a long illness. It was came quite suddenly. But I was with him in our home, as we had talked about how he wanted to be when he died. And there was no doubt in my mind, when he made the transition out of the body, I was holding him, talking to him, and talking to the other side, asking them to make it easy for him and to be there for him. And my final, I could feel his life forces moving. But my final words were, and I didn't know where this came from because I don't usually speak in these words, but I said, "Father, accept thy son." And he was gone. I mean, his energy left immediately. Since his death, I've had two encounters with him in an astral, an out-of-body experience, completely uncontrolled. The first time was very brief, and it was a few months after he had died. And he looked about as he did. Pardon me? Hello?
I just coughed. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay. It was just a brief encounter. He looked very much as he did the older year or so before he died. And it was like a reassurance. He was reassuring me. And I was out of my body, and he was out. He was in another on another plane. Now, the other encounter was just a few months ago. It was of greater length, and we carried on a conversation for I don't know how long because there's no time in that space. But I said, you know, I was asking, we talked about many things, but I said, why can't we do this more often? I can't seem to have any control over it. And he responded to me, and he said, this is not easy for me to do. And he said, and I have, with a smile on his face, he said, I have many things to take care of. And I asked him if it was good for he is, and if he was happy. And he said, both. And I said, what's it like? And then I said, no, I don't want to ask you that. And he just looked at me and reflected. He looked past me, actually, like he was thinking. And he said, all I can tell you is don't ever harm or kill anyone. Now, my husband has never killed anyone, but not in this life, but we had together. But I think it was an awareness that he had that he wanted to share with me. And at that point, he faded away, and then I went into my body and I awakened. But I just want to say that there is life ongoing. It does not end here. There is so much more out there. And if we can all just become aware of that, and that the world will be what we make it and as we want it to be. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Sue, for those thoughts.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sharing that with us. What an experience that must be to go through. Okay, we have Simon on the line. Simon, you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Can I speak to the rabbi?
He's right here.
Rabbi?
Right on.
My father was a rabbi, and his father was a rabbi. He ran away from Turks during the First World War, and he landed in Burma where I was born. He was a very, very deep student of the Kabbalah. And it's funny, when I was young, people from all over the neighborhood used to bring kids that were raving mad, and he just touches them and he says a few words quietly in meditation, And he said these words, Sham Fahad, Du Fahad, Lohaya Fahad. And all of a sudden, they changed, they become normal again. I don't understand that. And he, when I was born, he named me Shimon Bar Yochai. And I tell you who I am in case you want to talk to me. I own the Beverly Hills Liquor Castle in Beverly Hills. And it so happens, even my own brother became a rabbi. So when I was coming to the United States, I begged of him to come with me. He said, no, I know a country is going to be born and it's going to be called Israel. And my destiny is to go back there, where I came from.
Do you have a question now for Rabbi Berg?
Is it a fact that people can have healing powers like that from the Kabbalah?
Well, I guess this is a little wild at what I'm going to tell you right now.
This is the show for it.
Or so I'm going to take the liberty.
Okay.
You know, if we thought for a moment about our nails and our hair. We cut nails, we cut hair. And yet they continue to grow. And Rabbi Isaac Luria, in his Shah Ruach HaKodesh, which means the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't like that as an interpretation, but let's say the achievement of an altered state of consciousness, incidentally, which he discusses the aspect of AIDS, asks this kind of question. If someone loses a limb, why doesn't it grow back? And his answer was, it should. You see, with the knowledge of DNA today, the capacity of the root, the DNA itself, has all of the abilities to create the individual in the first place. Why can that source of energy not reproduce an arm or another limb or an infected area or a cancerous area? And his answer to that question is that the world in the age of Aquarius will receive the information on how that power to heal will be part of everyone's household. But for the time being, it was left for the select few. And for those who seem to be the proper channels of energy, then that doesn't mean someone who has earned the right to act as a channel. Because of many aspects of reincarnation, one individual, and like Einstein, he didn't reveal anything that did not exist. But why him and not someone else? And the answer was, his brain was the same as everyone else's. There was nothing within Einstein that appeared to be different, and in fact, there wasn't anything that was different. He was chosen, in fact, I can't get into the details, but we even know why he was chosen, to act as this robotic channel. He was purely robotic consciousness, which I can't discuss at the present time. But he was a pure robot, and therefore he was chosen to act as that channel for the revelation of relativity, which already had been mentioned before Einstein by the founder of the Research Center of Kabbalah some 68 years ago when he discussed the theory of relativity. These people are robotic channels for reasons unbeknown to most of us. They are there. And consequently, healing powers, people having the ability to heal, is something in a Kabbalistic frame of reference is nothing new and nothing to be marveled.
History is full of them.
That's right.
By the way, my father absolutely refused to take on me, even though we were living in a very pauperish. Absolutely, we're eating once in 2 days, and he refused to take any money or gifts when he was doing this thing.
Oh, that's one of the no-nos.
Because he said, if I ever take it, that's it.
That would be the end of it. That is correct. That's right. Okay, there it is.
All right, Simone. Thank you
very much.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. A few minutes. So before we're all gone, I want to touch again where you'll be conducting four seminars this coming week at the Stephen S. Wise Temple up in Bel Air. On Monday, Tuesday, that's August 5th and 6th, we'll be talking about the power of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. You've touched upon that already this evening. Wednesday and Thursday, on August 7th and 8th, we'll be discussing reincarnation. And if you'd like further information on that, you can call the Research Center of the Kabbalah at 213-274-5301 or at 552-9884. And, of course, we'll have all this on record here with broadcast information. The Research Center of the Kabbalah is offering classes in the Kabbalah, meditation, reincarnation, and other related topics. So that sounds like stuff our open mind folks will want to get into. And the same numbers for information on that. Or you can write the center if you want to at 9200 Olympic Boulevard in Beverly Hills. Their zip is 90212. Or write me, and I'll make sure that they get it, okay? Let's go to Annie on the line. Hello, Annie.
Hi. Rabbi Berg?
I'm with you.
Yes. You said you called angels spaceships. That seems to imply that angels are physical and not spiritual beings. Is that what your implication means?
No, I was referring to metaphysical. You see, the reality of spacecraft is not what we know it as we observe it today. It's such a finite, limited form of space transportation.
Okay, and these other worlds that the Kabbalah talks about, are they on the physical plane or on the spiritual plane?
On pure energy intelligence, because our scientists now are trying to convince us that 1% is corporeal and 99% is atomic or something we don't observe. So we're getting closer to...
The atomic is also part of the physical realm, though.
Well, but not the subatomic. When you get finally into where it's pure energy intelligence, that's reality of even the atomic structure. But in any event, I was referring to a purely metaphysical, beyond the realm of the corporeal, and not limited to space, time, and motion.
In other words, space does not exist on those levels.
A space as we know it.
And therefore, these would not be spaceships.
Well, yes and no.
See, when you say that something is a spaceship, it gives people the idea that angels are flying saucers, and that's not what they are. Angels are messengers of God that are intelligent beings that were created to do His will.
That is correct. The only reason, again...
And, even when they come into this world, they only take a physical appearance, but they do not have any physicality to them.
You just taken the words out of my mouth. Three angels appeared before Abraham. Angels can even enter a body. So
they only pretended to eat what he gave them.
Right.
They didn't really eat.
But nevertheless, he saw three corporeal bodies. So there you are. Yes or no?
What I'm saying is that they didn't come from a different planet.
They didn't come from planet Earth.
They didn't come from a different planet. They came from a spiritual realm.
That's right. I didn't say they came from another planet. I shouldn't say that. Because the energy intelligence of Saturn or Mars, Sun, they're all energy intelligences. And we have those energy intelligences visiting man right here with their particular astral influence. So they can come in the form of a purely spiritual nature. When I say spiritual, meaning devoid of any corporeality, or they can also become invested within a corporeal body.
When the Kabbalah speaks of the worlds of Atzilus, Briah, Yetzira, and Asiya, are those physical or spiritual realms?
All metaphysical realms.
They're all spiritual realms.
Yes.
And these angels originate in those realms, in the world of Yetzira.
Where are we? We're just a thought process. What is the real self other than a thought process?
Who?
Ourselves. The self. The hands have no director. have no direction, or they have no ability to perform other than following the directive of a thought process. What is a thought process if not metaphysical? So right here, within ourselves, without thinking of extraterrestrial intelligences, there is extraterrestrial intelligence right here within the self.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to make the point, is that these spiritual realms of Yetzirah, of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, are right here.
That's
right.
They're
not somewhere else.
No, that's sort of an intelligent thing
just,
I've got to do here right now.
Different levels of consciousness.
Honey, can you wait just a second, because the spirit has moved me to do something here, okay? Be right back. It's away. Three from the midnight mark. And, Amy, I want you to wrap up your comments here to the rabbi because we're just about done.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The point that I wanted to make is that the real trick in the study of Kabbalah is to strip away the allegory of its physicality and understand the deeper concepts stripped of that physicality. The Kabbalah speaks in the language of men, and therefore it has to deal with these concepts in physical type terms. But it's not talking about anything physical. And I don't think that talking about angels as spaceships and the different worlds as different planets and this and tefillin as phylacteries, as cosmic transmitters and this type of stuff really does a service to the understanding of Kabbalah, because people are at this time in history are having a difficult enough time understanding that God is not physical, and therefore it's very important to come to the core of the concepts rather than using these.
I think we've got your point there, Amy. There's our music, which means that we've got to go, okay? Thank you very much for jumping in there and joining in. And thank you, Philip S. Berg, Rabbi, Doctor, the Kabbalah Connection, for taking time out to join us on Open Mind. You're deep into our kind of stuff.
Thank you very much, Bill, for the opportunity.
We shall do it again. Promise?
Promise.
Yeah, it is.